Hello and welcome to Pods Above Replacement, part of the Padres Hot Tub Podcast Network. My name is Rafe Cantor. I am the producer of Padres Hot Tub, and joining me from the Mile High City, he's a park-adjusted smarty pants. It's John Pracona.
Hey there, Rafe. You ready to talk stats? I've got a stat for you that's going to make you say whoa, and another one that you can explain to Blake Snell next time you see him.
Wow, that's a twofer episode. That's right. We're talking about WOBA and WRC+, two of the stats that we reference most on this show. So we're looking forward to talking about it. And I'm just so excited. I don't want to like stall anymore. Let's just get into it, John. Why don't you start with talking about some WOBA for us?
I think that baseball might have a naming problem because WOBA and WRC plus are very crucial stats that I think that anyone can and should know. But I think those names might be throwing some folks off. Like WOBA, I don't even know how to spell that. Like, what's that little W in front of the other letters? What's going on there? WRC plus, that just sounds confusing as hell. But I mean, they're both based on stats that we already know. They're just different calculations of stats that we already know. So they're not particularly confusing, at least I don't think they are, but they're important. So let's get into them. So starting with WOBA, WOBA is very similar to what OPS is. But the point is that OPS has some just strangeness to it in general, like the slugging part of WOBA, of OPS suggests that a homer is four times more valuable than a single when it's not, and you're adding two completely different numbers together for some reason to get OPS, and it's just a weird wonky statistic. And so WOBA, the point of it is to be a more precise version of the same data overall, which is to say that they want to suggest that a single is worth a precise amount less than a double, which is worth a precise amount less than a triple, which is worth a precise amount less than a home run, and then just give that overall value. And what they're doing is putting it on a on-base percentage-like scale so that we can all kind of understand it intuitively, because we all know what a good and what a bad on-base percentage is. So, you know, we can just do that same thing with WOBA. Is a 320 WOBA, that's, you know, average. And then a really good on-base percentage, any of those numbers would be a good WOBA. Anything that's a bad on-base percentage would be a bad WOBA. And so, like I said, they take a little bit more of a precise route to the value of every single plate appearance. And that value changes from year to year on an empirical basis, suggesting that anytime they hit a double, the total amount of runs that were scored off of it or ended up scoring off of it gives you a number. And then they compare that to how many runs that were created off home runs, triples, doubles, singles, base on balls, etc. And then they, you know, put those all together, put them over your plate appearances, and then put out a number. And that number will vary from year to year. There are some like debatable parts where hit by pitches year over year are worth more than walks. And you'd say, why is that? That doesn't make any sense. It's basically the same thing. And like I said, it's empirical. So one, there are fewer, so the sample size is smaller. And two, folks that hit a lot of people tend to give up more runs than folks that, occasionally give up a base on ball. And at the same time, a two-out walk is worth just as much on your WOBA calculation as a zero-out walk. But in reality, what's worth more? It's the zero-out walk is going to be worth more. So there's a little bit of like, does this apply to a single at bat type thing? No, not really. Does it apply to a season as a whole? Yeah, probably once sample sizes get large enough. And so, like I said, you're doing a scale based on, you know, the actual outcomes of a player, and there just is a number that they get every single year, and that is a constant for that number, and they multiply it by how many times you got your single, how many times you got your double. And so we're going to put a quick calculation for Manny Machado's WOBA up on the screen, but it's not particularly complex. It's very similar to OPS, except that you have a constant that you have to multiply each of these outcomes by. And so there's a constant for how many runs a base on ball is worth. So for Manny Machado, he had 53 unintentional base on ball. So fact about this is that intentional walks are just taken out completely. Don't necessarily know why, but that is what it is. So he had 53 unintentional walks, times that by the constant, which is 6.89. And then you got how much his weighted value was for walks last year. And then you do the same thing by hit by pitches. He had one, the constant 0.721. Same thing for singles. He had 102, constant 0.884. Same thing for doubles. Same thing for home runs, etc. And you can, you know, we'll show you the calculation. It adds up to exactly what his WOBA was overall, which was 382 last year. So I talked about it a little bit, but did you want to give a couple rules of thumb for WOBA overall?
Yeah. So like John mentioned, WOBA is normalized so that it's equal to what the on-base percentage is of the year in a given season for the year. That being said, there are some general rules of thumb that are good to practice where if you get a flash, like glance at someone's WOBA, it'll give you just a general like, okay, this is what the quality of their year was. So again, 320 is about average because that generally is about the average on-base percentage for a given year in baseball. Sometimes that fluctuates, but you can use 320 as your benchmark. And so the same applies for WOBA. 320 is about average. So if someone has a 320, 323, 317 WOBA, you can say, okay, their total offensive contribution to the team was about average for a given season. And then basically every 20 points is kind of a grade in either direction. So a 340 WOBA is about above average. And you know, you get to the 360, 370 range, then it's you start to get to great. And then once you hit above 400, you're like, oh my God, this player is excellent. You know, this is a Juan Soto level type Mike Trout sort of contribution. Same goes for when you're going down, you know, you get to the 300 range or WOBA, that's pretty bad. And then, you know, by the time you get to the 280 level, this is a player that's probably replacement level and is not long for the league if they are consistently putting up levels like that. Another good rule of thumb is that 20 points of WOBA is about equal to 10 runs above average. And if you'll recall in our WAR episode that we just posted, 10 runs above average, give or take, is about worth a win. You know, runs per win generally fluctuates between 9 and 10. Sometimes it goes a little over 10, but a good rule of thumb is that 10 runs is about worth a win. So you can also look at someone's, WOBA and compare two players and say, okay, this player had a 350 WOBA and then this other player had a 330 WOBA. And okay, the player with a 350 WOBA was probably worth about one win offensively more than the player who had a 330 WOBA. So it's these kind of tiny things that allow you to compare players, in a rough estimation. And this is the sort of thing that we were talking about in the WAR episode too. These are baseball's best guesses. You know, it's not a perfect science, but it's getting as much data as possible. And baseball is a sport that has a lot of data and trying to take big ideas and break them down into a single number. And for what it's worth, I think it's pretty cool and pretty good. And there's an even cooler one, in my opinion, mostly because it's my initials. And if you're part of our Padres Hot Tub Discord, you can become a member of that by becoming a Patreon supporter for just $5 a month, patreon.com/PadresHotTub. John and I are on there constantly, but you will not see Rafe Cantor on there. You will see Weighted Rafe Cantor Plus, which is my Discord name, and is the name, the initials of a certain other stat that John, I don't know if you want to break down for us.
Yeah, so WRC Plus, let's talk about it so that we can teach Blake Snell the next time we see him, as we see him all the time, I'm sure. So we went into WOBA first because WRC Plus is heavily dependent on WOBA. However, Woba needs to be manipulated a couple times in order to get to WRC+. So first you take your Woba, and that is a rate-based statistic, which means that you can have, you know, a 400 Woba in 10 plate appearances, and that's obviously dramatically less valuable than a 400 Woba over 600 plate appearances. So you have to turn it into a counting stat in order to see just how many runs that was worth in however many plate appearances they had. And then all you have to do after that is adjust it for the park in which you played, and then the league in which you played, like AL versus NL, which, as we described in the war episode, is getting dangerously close to being about the same, those run environments. But it sounds simple. You're just turning the rate-based stat into a counting stat and then adjusting for park and league. But the thing is that those adjustments can be dramatically different. And for us as Padres fans, they can make our numbers look a lot worse than they are. Because, I mean, in the past 5 years, the run environment for Petco Park has been tied for the second worst in the league, behind only the New York Mets home field. And so when you see those WOBAs, they're going to be lower than anybody's WOBA at, say, Coors Field or Fenway Park. And, you know, you can't really do a one-to-one comparison because we have to play in Petco and they get to play in Coors, right? And so just to put some numbers on that to exemplify how big of a difference that's making in this modern era is Manny Machado last year had his near MVP year and he had a 382 WOBA. And so when you adjust that for the park in which he played, Petco Park, you end up getting a WRC plus that's 152. And as we've explained in the past, WRC plus and all plus statistics and all minus statistics are based on 100 points being average. So when we say that Manny Machado had 152 WRC plus, we are saying that he was 52% better than league average. So every single point above or below 100 is 1%. And so he had 152 WRC plus, that's 52% above league average. The year before, in 2021, CJ Cron had a 383 WOBA, which is just in line with Manny Machado's 382 WOBA of last year. But playing in Coors Field, his WRC plus dropped all the way down to 126, so only 26% better than league average, which is, once again, 26% more below Manny Machado last year. So just overall, we're talking average is 100 based on how your WOBA, how much success you had at the plate, adjusting for how many at-bats, and then the park and the league, what percentage were you better or worse than league average? And you can get largely different WRC pluses than those little WOBAs that you'll see on the board based on the parks. Did you want to maybe give an example of where those numbers can get particularly wonky?
Yeah, so again, why I love WRC plus is it normalizes for park, it normalizes for league, and it also normalizes for era, because as we know, baseball is a game that's evolved a lot. And, you know, in the 80s and 90s, people were stealing a lot. And, you know, up until the rule changes this year, people were barely stealing at all. And in the 50s and 60s, people also didn't steal a lot of bases. And so you see this kind of, you know, uptick and then downtick and everything. And so you have to sort of normalize things. The same goes for total offensive production in general. And this is going to be apparent for anyone who was around to watch baseball in the 90s when we were playing in what has been widely known as the steroid era, where offense was off of the charts. And because of that, the average player playing at that time had offensive numbers that if they put up those numbers today, they would be leading the league, basically, in offensive production. And we don't need to look any further than Dante Bichette, father of Bo Bichette, who I always want to say Boba Fett, and it's really hard for me not to. But Dante Bichette, in 1999, he played for the Colorado Rockies, and he put up a stat line that was 298 batting average on base percentage of 354 and a slugging percentage of 541. That adds up to an OPS of 895. And that being said, his WRC plus was 100. he had a league average offensive contribution when he put up almost a 900 OPS. To put that in perspective, in 2022, his OPS would have been the seventh best OPS in all of Major League Baseball. Manny Machado, who we just talked about in 2022, putting up an MVP caliber performance, had a 298 batting average, 366 on base percentage, and a 531 slugging percentage. That is an 897 OPS. Okay, so almost exactly the same OPS, but between the park factor, which there's a great article on Fangraphs about this. I'll just Google Dante Bichette 1999 and you'll find it. And it references that this particular Coors Field always is kind of an offensive powerhouse, but this particular season in 1999, for whatever reason, like walks were out of control, BABIP was out of control, like all of this crazy stuff was out of control. And so the offense was crazy high that year. And then we obviously talked about WAR in our last episode, and there are positional adjustments, and then there are league adjustments, and all this stuff. And Manny Machado playing third base, it's I wouldn't call it a premium defensive position, but it is, you know, you do get a slight 2.5-run bonus on Fangraphs for playing third base. And he plays third base particularly well. You know, he had 6.9 defensive runs last year above average. Add in the positional adjustment, that's basically a win just for him playing third base the way that he does. Dante Bichette played left field, which is one of the least valuable positions. And he played left field in gigantic Coors Field. So he was already a poor offensive player, usually played right field, was playing left field. And there's an argument to be made that left field in Coors is actually a little bit more difficult than right field just because there's more surface area and just the way the ball plays there. And so he was particularly ill-suited to be playing left field at Coors. And so you add in his league average offensive performance, given the fact of how people were playing in Coors Field that year, and add in his truly terrible defensive performance, he put up negative 2.1 WAR in 1999. Two wins below average, and all of that while putting up an 895 OPS. And that just goes to show you why I think WRC plus and WAR, you know, generally, are so cool, is because you can look at Dante Bichette in 1999 and him putting up those crazy numbers, and you can have people say all the time, like, I yearn for the days of Dante Bichette when guys would just hit, and, you know, Dante Bichette was this scrub and he was still hitting 300 and blah, 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 blah. And you can say, nay. That was a league average performance. And, you know, Dante Bichette, if he came down here in 2022 at Petco Park and played that same performance, he would not touch Manny Machado, even though on paper they quote unquote hit the same. So that is what is so cool about these stats, is that you're adjusting for where people play, you're adjusting for who they play for, and you're also adjusting for the era in which they play. And it's a common parlance that we can use to try and compare seasons across eras. So very cool stat. Any parting words of wisdom for the folks before we shut this baby down?
Yeah, I just think it's fun that, you know, Dante Bichette and Manny Machado had almost the identical season at the plate in terms of outcome. OPS, WOBA, slash line, they all look exactly the same. And then you start adjusting for defense, you start adjusting for park, you start adjusting for era, and suddenly he's a 9.5 different WAR player. 9.5 difference. And then you take a similar vein, you take his 100 WRC plus, that's worse than Ha-Sung Kim's WRC plus last year. His WRC plus was 105. And so Ha-Sung Kim would be expected last year in 1999, like last year Ha-Sung Kim placed in 1999 Coors Field would have been expected to exceed a slash line of 298, 354, and 541. That's what we would have been getting from Ha-Sung Kim, according to the math. That's, you know, just wild stats out there.
Yeah. And you know, again, the Padres and Giants played the season in Mexico City. There obviously isn't really a big enough sample size off of those two games to try and get a very accurate park factor. But if a team, for instance, as was talked about in the past, started playing in Mexico City and you had these crazy offensive differences, you would want to use a stat like WRC Plus to try and compare players because the numbers wouldn't make sense on their face. So again, you know, these advanced stats are how we try and make sense of this truly stupid game that we love. With that in mind, thanks again for watching an episode of Summer School, a sub-series that I forgot to plug the title of at the beginning, but this is called Summer School. We hope you're watching on our YouTube channel. We're at Padres Hot Tub on YouTube. We've been throwing up data and stats, as we always do for our player breakdowns. Please subscribe, like, comment, bring a friend next time. Helps people find the show. And for John Percota, I'm Rafe Cantor. We will see you next time.